Hello and welcome to No Planet B, only on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. You can tune in at 102.3 FM or at radio.dominican.edu. This is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better planet because we have nowhere else to go. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a topic that is very positive and something that scientists have been working on for quite some time now. And it's looking really good for sustainability and for our future and for bettering the life that we live on Earth. So today it's going to be about energy and specifically renewable energy. If you don't know, renewable energy is energy made from sources that are able to create a better environment by causing less carbon emissions and therefore not creating as much harm to our environment. So, of course, as long as humans have been around, energy and electricity have been around. Back in the very old days when there were no machines, no technology for electricity, the first of humans were using wood for light and heat, water power for basic mills, and they would even burn dung for the same affect light and heat. We recognize Benjamin Franklin as kind of the inventor of electricity, even though there was a long timeline after him and a shorter one before him, but there was still work being done before Benjamin Franklin. Basically, what Benjamin Franklin did is that he noticed lightning strikes could produce power from their sparks. So basically what he did is he went out with a kite and he purposely made the kite get hit by these lightning rods in order to prove that the sparks could be recognized as a form of electricity. And that was in 1752. And since then we've all kind of known, oh, Benjamin Franklin, yeah, he was the original inventor of electricity. However, he was a huge turning point, but he wasn't the main cause of electricity. He was a huge catalyst, but he didn't exactly know what to do with it. So he found out that lightning creates electricity, and everyone added up from there. So after him, like I said, it was a huge turning point in how humans saw and used electricity. It was kind of a determining factor to where we would go in our future and how we ended up where we are today. So from the 1750s on, electricity began to be studied more and more, and a variety of sources were used to conduct electricity. These sources included frog legs, wires, water, and different metals to produce electricity through all types of different ways. This eventually led to the invention of generators, telephones, and electric lights in the late 1870s. And ever since then, there were people who just kept working towards studying electricity. How can we use this? A lot of different elements were being found to be put on the periodic table, including magnesium. And then in the 1930s and 40s, throughout that time frame, electric appliances began to be introduced to the everyday household. So people began having electricity available for their everyday lives, and that really just turned everything around. It became something that was very accessible, and it made everyone's lives a lot easier because they could produce electricity in their own home and then eventually dishwashers and washing machines for clothes were invented as well. So energy, of course, has been something that humans have always needed. It's a source that provides us with life, in a sense, because we can do a lot more things when we have running power. And electricity and energy, they were never really a problem until humans and scientists specifically recognized, hey, this is kind of doing some damage to our environment. We're producing a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. A lot of carbon dioxide is being put into our environment. And it's probably because of these energy sources, because fossil fuels were used and power plants, a lot of negative energy sources that became a huge threat to our environment. But of course, we didn't really know until we knew. So it's nothing that we can blame humans for. It was a learning process. And today, things are looking a lot better in terms of energy and how to use electricity efficiently and to find power from renewable sources that don't do as much harm to the environment and actually create a better living situation for everyone on Earth. So these renewable sources are what we call clean energy. And our goal with clean energy is to reduce the causes that are coming from climate change. And climate change is basically being triggered by these higher levels of greenhouse gas emissions in the atmosphere. And one way we can really lower that impact is by reducing our carbon gas emissions, our carbon dioxide gas emissions. So scientists have turned to these renewable sources in order to reduce our level of global warming and greenhouse gas emissions that cause global warming. Some of these new sources are hard to work with. They were definitely a process for a lot of scientists. It took some time to really get right. And there has been a tremendous growth in the solar industry, in the more sustainable energy industries. And it's becoming a lot more affordable, a lot more recognized throughout society as something that we're going to need to do in order to better our environment and change our outlook for the future. And without these sources of clean energy, we would just keep on seeing the rise in global gas emissions and a rise in global warming because of that. So the U.S. Energy Information Administration classifies renewable energy as energy from sources that are naturally replenishing but flow limited. Renewable resources are virtually inexhaustible in duration, but limited in the amount of energy that is available per unit of time. Of course, that sounds really complex, but the idea is actually really simple. It comes down to what I've been saying for the past segment of how these resources that we use for energy now and are looking more into for the future, they are naturally occurring, and the Earth is able to get rid of these sources in a healthy manner and in a natural mechanism. So they don't provide all these harmful toxins like gas does and fossil fuels. They actually are able to almost biodegrade in a sense throughout the environment because our environment is able to handle these types of sources. So in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about examples of clean energy, why we use them, how we use them, and how they're bettering our environment in more specific details. So stick around for that. Once again, you are listening to No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio, also available at radio.dominican.edu. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. And I am your host, DJ Green. In the previous segment, I talked about renewable energy and the history of electricity and energy in society and how humans have gained more information to understand that the energy we were using before wasn't really good for our environment. Although it's nobody's fault, it's a lesson learned, and now scientists are working towards only using clean, renewable energy to eventually have a net zero society. So what a net zero society is that it basically refers to the balance between the amount of greenhouse gas produced and the amount removed from the atmosphere. So we are able to reach a net zero emissions when the amount we add of greenhouse gases is no more than the amount that's able to be taken away by the environment. So before, the energy we used, the environment was not able to successfully detox and get rid of. So now, by using renewable clean sources, we provide the environment with sources that are able to be properly detoxed and not necessarily cause harm. And some examples of clean energy, the main sources of where clean energy comes from are solar energy, wind energy, geothermal energy, water, bioenergy, and nuclear energy. So I think we all have a pretty broad understanding of solar energy. It's something that's kind of become very popular in the last decade or so. And solar energy is energy that's conducted from the sun to produce electricity. We use that thermal energy from the sun, the heat, to store in these solar panels that we can use later on. And although we don't have sun 24/7, solar energy, the panels are able to store the energy that they get from the sun's heat and save it for later use. So no matter what, these solar panels will always hold enough energy to provide electricity for households, for buildings, for complexes, for really anything you can imagine. Solar energy was a huge stepping stone in producing a better energy source for our environment. And solar energy is not just one thing. It's all water is also, my apologies, wind is also considered a source of solar energy because wind is produced when the Earth's surface is heated unevenly by the sun. Therefore, the wind is able to produce electricity because of the power that the wind has that is then being stored into electricity that can be later passed on to whatever sources we need it to be passed on to. So it's a really amazing idea, and it's something that kind of should have been recognized a while ago, but it's good that now scientists have come to terms with the fact that it's not hard to provide clean energy sources. It's just something that we didn't really know that we had to do before. So The next source is geothermal energy, and that's basically energy that is heat derived from the subsurface of the earth and then turned into electricity for heating and cooling purposes. So it's taken from underneath the ground and used and produced also underneath the ground and then stored there for later use. Similar to the other sources, just kind of a different method and a different process. The next source is water. So the energy from flowing water is very strong in the rivers and even just man-made flowing water that can be used to produce electricity. The molecules in the water, they're strong enough, powerful enough to create currents that are able to be processed into electricity. And that was actually first pretty much discovered with the moisture concept when there was a study on frog legs and the moisture being done to conduct electricity back in the 1750s. And the next source of energy is bioenergy. And bioenergy is energy that is produced from living organisms that are known as biomass. And they produce transportation tools, heat, electricity, and products. So bioenergy is pretty amazing. It's literally done by using naturally occurring living organisms to produce energy. So the source is already there naturally from the earth. So obviously our environment is able to process it in a healthy manner. Like I said before, something that won't produce a whole bunch of toxins or greenhouse gas emissions. And the last source of renewable energy is nuclear energy. And nuclear energy is the use of nuclear reactions to produce electricity. Nuclear power can be obtained from nuclear fission, nuclear decay, and nuclear fusion reactions. So it's basically creating a scientific event to using nuclear reactions to produce this energy and this power to have electricity. And all of these sources are way more beneficial for the environment. It's way easier to release into our atmosphere without it causing major damage. So, because of these sources, a clean energy revolution is pretty much on its way, and it's really exciting news because carbon emissions are really, really hard to combat. They're really hard to fight. And with having these sources readily available and studied already, it creates kind of easier access to providing a better future for our environment, for the future generations. And of course, the Paris Agreement aims towards having a net zero economy worldwide. A net zero society, basically, worldwide. And of course, we just got rejoined into the Paris Agreement because of President Biden, which is really exciting news. He actually recognizes that climate change is very, very, very real. And because we were re-enlisted into the Paris Agreement, that is amazing. It helps California and other states be able to kind of reduce the amount of harmful energy sources that they're using and transition over into these clean, renewable energy sources. And it's really awesome because the clean energy industry actually generates hundreds of billions in economic activity, and that's stated by energy.gov. And they expect this, not trend, but this movement to continue to grow rapidly in the up and coming years. And it's actually a huge opportunity for economic growth because of the inventions, the manufacturing, and the export of clean energy technologies. It's a really beautiful process if you think about it. It's something that can make our economy money and help our environment at the same time. It's a very good event that is occurring. So in the next section, I'm going to talk more about the impact of clean energy on the environment and why it's important for our growth as society to create a more sustainable environment, basically. So once again, you're listening to No Planet B on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environment. Hello, and welcome again to No Planet B, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making in order to make a better future because we have nowhere else to go. In the previous segments, I introduced energy and electricity throughout history and how humans have used it to better our everyday lives and how scientists have kind of recently began to discover that the energy we have been using for so long isn't very good for our environment. And so I went on to talk about clean energy sources and how renewable energy doesn't create these toxic pollutants to our atmosphere, therefore reducing our global gas emissions and reducing climate change in general because of it. So renewable energy is important to our environment for a lot of reasons, and this section is really going to be covering those reasons in detail. As we know, human activity is overloading our atmosphere with carbon dioxide and a lot of other global warming emissions and toxic gases, including methane from farmhouse factories. And basically, these gases act like a blanket. They trap the heat so that the atmosphere can't really do anything with them, and it just sits in our environment, polluting our air, our waters, and everything that we really need to survive. It's just creating kind of a negative environment for humans and life in general. And this result is just significant and very harmful for everyone and everything involved. There's more frequent storms, there's more droughts, there's sea level rising, and a lot of extinction going on between animals that shouldn't go extinct in our lifetime, but they are because of our use of these energy sources specifically. So most of these renewable energy sources, the clean energy sources, they produce little to no global warming emissions, which is pretty incredible. It's something that everyone should recognize. And it's not just a trend. It's not just something that sounds cool. It's actually something that will really help our environment to be more sustainable and be able to be lived on for many more years than were ever possible when we were using these dirty energy sources, if you want to call them that. So even the life cycles of these clean energy emissions don't do any harm to the environment. They completely go through their life cycle in a way that the environment that our planet Earth is able to kind of maintain and handle and able to push out in a healthy manner, like I stated in the last segment. For example, burning natural gas for electricity releases between 0.6 and 2 pounds of carbon dioxide. And On the other hand, wind, one of the examples of renewable energy, is only responsible for 0.02 to 0.04. And so just with that comparison alone, it shows a lot of potential for reducing the damage caused by these energy sources that have happened over the last hundreds and hundreds of years. So with more energy sources becoming readily available, it basically just improves overall public health because of the air quality and the water source quality. By using renewable sources, we aren't polluting into our environment. Therefore, we're not polluting our own bodies because there's not this carbon dioxide emission. There's not this methane emission. There's nothing being emitted from these renewable sources that are harmful enough to impact ourselves and our environment. So that was really proved in a Harvard University study that estimated the life cycle costs and public health effects of coal to be estimated at $74.6 billion every single year. So the health impact of coal and burning coal and the toxins released into the environment, causing cancer, causing detrimental health impacts on humans, was estimated to be $74.6 billion every single year. So by just reducing that, it can create something that can sustain way better in our future for ourselves and, of course, the environment, as I've already said a million times before. And, of course, it has been a challenge, but the goal overall is to have a net zero energy society for the long term of ourselves and for our planet. And that's really because the evidence from scientists really shows that our planet has been getting hotter, and there's no way to deny that. The warmest 20 years on record have been in the last 22 years, according to the World Meteorological Organization, and the warmest four were all recent years. It was from 2015 to 2018. They were the warmest years recorded so far. And global average temperatures are now 33.8 degrees Fahrenheit higher than in the pre-industrial era. So before all these inventions were made to produce energy and electricity, there has just been a steady increase in global gas emissions and therefore global warming. So of course, like, the increase in these greenhouse gases is just triggering a lot of harmful global impacts, a lot of global warming, a lot of air pollutants, a lot of water pollutants. And reducing these gases is kind of the only way to really combat climate change. And there's ways to do it that are not as invasive as just cutting out what we know completely. It's just about switching to these renewable sources that are gonna really help ourselves and help our planet once again. So once we lower these emissions that we're sending into the atmosphere from sources such as like industrial processes, power generations, transport, and really intensive agriculture that releases methane into our environment, we have to do this by letting go of all the ways that we've known for so long. And when energy doesn't come from these renewable sources, it will just add on top of each other, creating really harmful environments and a really big threat to Earth because of the severity of these greenhouse gas emissions. And The National Grid stated that carbon dioxide is one of the most harmful greenhouse gases. So by reducing the amount of our carbon footprint, just generally as a collective, it's going to drastically improve our environment. And so therefore, the global temperatures will come to a halt and have a big possibility of being completely reduced into a net zero society. So it's looking good. It's nothing really to worry about. But there are a lot of things that we can do as individuals to support these companies that are working towards the environment. And in the next section, I will be talking more on that. So once again, this is No Planet B with DJ Green on 102.3 Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious. Hello and welcome back to No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is on 102.3 FM or radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. This is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. So in my previous segments, I talked about renewable energy, the history of energy and electricity throughout humans, and how it's come to our attention that we need to provide better renewable sources so that our environment doesn't continue on this steep decline and also incline of global gas emissions and global warming. So although a lot of renewable sources, it really comes from corporations and the big guys in themselves, it also can map down to the individual and to what we do with our everyday lives. So if we're supporting companies that aren't for the planet, we are really telling the economy and these companies and corporations that, hey, we still support you even though you're kind of doing crazy damage to our environment. So the first step is really to stop supporting the companies that don't work towards being better for the environment. For one example, that would be like Walmart. If you shop at Walmart a lot, they don't do much to support our economy or our environment in sustainable measures. They really only care about the economic benefits of their company. And the opposite of that would be a company like Winco, who is very small family owned, and although Walmart is kind of the same, they do not have the money hungry, will ruin the environment just for our needs type of attitude. They have the complete opposite attitude and they work towards bettering the environment. So, as I said, the first step is really supporting these companies that do not damage our environment, are actually 1% for the planet. And you can look up these companies that are 1% for the planet and really find out who you want to support. There is literally a homepage, 1percentfortheplanet.org, that tells you all of these companies. To just name a few, Patagonia, Clean Canteen, Honest Tea, Boxed Water, and more. Local companies such as Nugget Market. These kind of companies are going to preserve all of what they're using to keep on making life out of the products that they're using. They're not just going to use it once and throw it away. They're not big fans of plastic. They're working hard towards biodegradable substances that they can use in their packaging. It's just something that really needs to be taken to huge measures in terms of bettering the sustainability aspect of their companies. It has to really be a drastic increase in sustainability throughout their programs, throughout their administration, everything. So you can't be considered 1% for the planet unless you're doing a very specific, detailed job at bettering the environment. So that's a really good first step at looking at companies that you should support versus companies that you may accidentally be supporting now. Because if we do begin to completely support the companies that are for our planet versus the ones that are not, we can provide a better future for future generations and just for ourselves in general, animals, everything. Because our environment would have a balanced amount of renewable energy sources that aid the planet in removing these toxins from the atmosphere if we do just simply support these companies. So really simple ways that you can kind of come to terms with this is that just consider every day where you're getting your energy from. What products are you buying that maybe aren't the best for the environment? And even in the future, when you go to purchase a home with your future spouse, when you have a family, maybe you want to look into solar energy. It's something that is definitely on the increase, and they're finding ways to make it cheaper and cheaper. So it can be a really big positive. And it also saves you money if you get a house that has, let's say, solar panels on its roof instead of the normal everyday electricity that we're used to. If you get a house with solar panels, you will save money in the long term because you're not paying for electricity, really. You're just paying for the solar panels when you buy the house. Therefore, longevity-wise, you're going to pay less money for the energy that you're using, which is really cool and something that I don't think really a lot of people recognize as a big beneficial step to them buying a house. And once again, you want to support the companies that are reducing their carbon footprint and every day working hard to reduce their global emissions and incorporate more materials that are biodegradable, that are just more environmentally friendly. So if you go onto, like I said, 1%fortheplanet.org, you'll find these companies who are successfully switching up their entire way that they've been doing things just because they know that this world cannot sustain the rate that we're going in right now. The good news is, though, is that it's looking better than ever recently to actually switch up what big companies have been doing. More companies are noticing that less people are eating meat. They're not interested in plastic packaging. They're more interested in sustainability. Although it could be considered a trend, it's also a lifestyle for a lot of people. And that's just something that we have to live by in order to show these companies that we do not want to support their negative and toxic patterns. Literally toxic patterns that just reduce an insane amount of pollutants into the world. And so you just have to kind of stick it out for a little bit. And even though maybe the paper straws are a little bit worse than plastic straws, the long-term effect is way better than using something that may be more reliable or easier for you. So that's pretty much it. I mean, just reducing every bit of old fossil fuels, maybe switching to a hybrid car if you can. They're not that much more expensive. Just little steps will really lead into the right direction, and it comes as a collective. It's about the individual because we all add up to one big group of beings who should be focused on our planet, and that's what's happening. So it's looking good, and honestly, I have high hopes for the future, and I think that you should too. Don't beat yourself up over anything that you're doing wrong. Just maybe try to evaluate and see what you can do better. So once again, thank you guys so much for listening. This is No Planet B. I am your host, DJ Green, and this is Penguin Radio on 102.3 FM or radio.dominican.edu. And this is where we talk about environmentally conscious decision making because we have nowhere else to go. Thank you.